Dave, I got Steve and Garrett for you.
How'd you do that?
You know what? It's what I do, man. That's how I roll. Here they come. Steve and Garrett, you're on with Dave Calloway.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Dave.
Garrett, I've seen you making the rounds today. We had CNN on earlier, and I'm sitting there going, you got Christopher Cross on there. Got the whole gang together here, just kind of pushing Yacht Rock. This is great.
I'm so honored these guys still talk to me after I make this film. So.
Right? Well, and Steve, I need to geek out with you for just a moment before we really dive into things, is that I have a very good friend up in Montana, biggest Toto fan living, and has helped me along because for Toto, there's certain things where he would know much more than I would ever know. And one of them was about your wall of synthesizers you had back in the day. I love that picture of you with all the patch cords. Where is that synthesizer set up now?
It is being completely rebuilt and refurbished at the company Polyfusion, which is the, you know, which is the kind of synthesizer it was, the brand. They've very kindly offered to completely replace every jack, you know, completely, you know, replace any components, make sure everything's working perfectly. They've been working on it for a couple of years now. You know, it's quite a that picture you see of me, we had two of those. There was actually two of those. So they're painstakingly rebuilding it.
Oh, my God. Well, and my friend told me that you named them? You named each one of the towers of the synthesizers?
Well, we had each piece would have a name so that the cartage company, the people that would bring our stuff to sessions, I could just say, just bring Damius and Ophelia. Don't worry about Rudis or, you know, Ramses. Leave them there. You know what I mean? They would know which pieces to bring.
I have to tell you, Steve, you know what I picture is I always picture you in a studio winding up cords, you know, like you do, and like old XLR cords and whatnot, and you're just throwing it into like a container, and that is the new keyboard that anybody could use that features everything you ever did back in the day. Unbelievable.
That'd be pretty accurate, actually.
Oh, my God. Well, let's talk about it. So Yacht Rock, first of all, I've seen it, and we had it on our calendar, my wife and I. We were sitting there going, we can't wait to see this. And so when it did premiere on HBO Max, we couldn't wait to see this. And I thought it started off great with Christopher Cross saying, I had a successful weed business in Texas. And then you dive into the whole story of how everything really got rolling. Is this weird at all to either one of you, Garrett, you or Steve, about it being called something that it was not called while it was happening with Yacht Rock?
That's what fascinated me about kind of doing this project, is like from the artist's point of view of, like, you know, how is their response of getting their life's work, you know, retroactively labeled as this thing that kind of was birthed out of the internet as a bit of a joke, a little kitschy, and how does that make them feel? And I think I wanted to give them a platform to define the music they were making, but at the same time, give kudos to the people that created this word and kind of created this monster that we know as Yacht Rock, because, you know, they really did connect the dots to all these artists, and I think it helped bring a little bit of realization, yet maybe this actually is somewhat of a subgenre of this music that we were making at the time.
I understand that. Steve, I wonder, you know, you founded, you know, Toto, that band is so good, and I keep wondering about, do you ever wonder or worry about labels for your music like this at all?
You know, not really. You know, there was always that thing where, right, record stores, they had to, what bin do we put it in? Is it rock? Is it this? We need to label stuff. There was a lot of great music that kind of got lost in the shuffle because it wasn't easily labeled or definable. You know, we saw that happen back in the day. So I don't care what you call it. I'm just, you know what I mean?
Right.
We're thrilled that people are listening.
You know, I'm glad that you broke down the story, Steve, about human nature, because, you know, you wrote that song, Michael Jackson, eventually, so he does it. And, you know, the thing I wondered about after you were describing the demo, actually, the demo gets played a little bit in this documentary.
When
I heard it, and I'm sitting there going, you know, I wonder if Steve thought that Michael Jackson did it right. Did he do the song the way you thought it was probably going to be done?
Oh, my God. It exceeded my expectations. You know, I mean, I talk about how Quincy kind of just essentially did my demo. Well, but that's not to undercut Quincy and what he brought to the table, and him adding Lukather with this R&B guitar part, this picking guitar part, which was not on my demo. He made it Michael. And then what Michael brought to the table is, you know, I can't tell you. You can't put it in words how much he brought to the table and how much he elevated it and where he took it. And Quincy having me get John, you know, getting John Bettis to rewrite my verse lyrics. Just all the stuff just elevated the song, and he made this amazing record.
Well, you know? one of the best ever. Garrett, you know, I wonder, for looking at this story that you put together with this documentary, I don't know if you looked at it this way at all, but people who are music fans, especially from that era, is that I looked at it as liner notes. You gave us all these stories, and this is what we used to appreciate about having albums, is reading the liner notes. Did you ever look at it that way?
You know, I love that you said that. I really just wanted to make a hangout film that felt like a warm hug, as I put it. Like, sitting down in your room, pulling out an album, putting the record on, and just reading the back of an album. And I think that's kind of the approach I took with this. And showing how all these incredible artists are interconnected and played on each other's albums, and these friendships that still, you know, last to this day. And that's the film I wanted to make, and I hope I brought people into this world that might have been a little nervous about this music or kind of looked down upon it. And for people that love this music all along, I hope they learn something new. So finding that balance between those worlds was always a goal, and I'm glad to hear that it's working for so many people.
Oh, man. Well, a couple more questions for you guys. I know we're short on time. We could talk all day. But, Steve, have you noticed whenever anything like this comes up that puts a spotlight back on music you've created, is that it increases music sales?
Yeah. I mean, sure. We get a lot of love from younger generations that kind of, again, the documentary with Thundercat and, Questlove, these guys really kind of underline that this appreciation. Maybe it was music they, when they were younger, they heard in their dentist office, but, all of a sudden things are getting sampled and they're seeing the, the beauty in my brother's deep-pocketed drum groove on I Keep Forgetting, you know?
Isn't that crazy? I have to tell you, is that California, so I toured California, went up and down the coast, and we stopped at your brother's gravesite. I'm a drummer, and I thought, I have to stop there. And my friend Mark up in Montana, same thing, and so we stopped by. We're so glad we did, because, one of the greatest drummers of all time, I got to say.
Yep, I can vouch for that.
Amen. Amen.
Jeff is truly the heartbeat of music, and I hope that comes across in the film. He's in this along with Mike too, so I'm glad, you know, people are learning more about Steve's brothers, because again, they were a big part of this scene too.
Oh my God, all the way. And I keep wondering, now that you've got the documentary out, maybe people have said this to you already, Garrett, is that really, seriously, you could put another one out, because we know that you hit a lot of yacht rock, but there's still a lot more you could uncover.
I mean, it was an embarrassment of riches of the material I had, and I had to fit it all into a 95-minute movie. But you know what? I kind of want to leave people wanting more to go discover this stuff on their own, and that's kind of the beauty of telling stories like this. I don't want to give it all away. I like when people have to be active and seek out things. And I
thought you did a great job.
Thank you. I think they're going to do that with the music of Toto and all these other Michael and Chris and all these other artists. Like, that's all I can ask for.
Well, I liked it so much. It's one of those things where it's like a hit record. Is you want to go hear it again? I want to go see this again. And so I think my wife and I are definitely going to do that. We enjoyed the music that much.
Oh, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, big time. Steve, thank you. You're the best. Garrett, thank you for making this film. Love. And good luck with the tour and pushing, getting everybody to know that it's out there. Yacht Rock, the documentary on HBO Max. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.